C1AP. Number 20A.
Well, we have come a long way in the book of Revelation, and we are now at the turn, at the turning point, and so I just quickly run through the line that has led us up to the present point, namely that we began to see that John the Revelator lived at in the 5,000 year period after that tremendous exposition of the one life through Jesus Christ. Showing us really how that one life can live individually as a perfect life, as the fullness of life and eternality of life. But then Jesus had something else in view than just to demonstrate the point of life. He demonstrated truth and love also. But the time was not ready at his time for people to understand what he is going to teach. And so he said, I will send you another comforter. I will give you another message. And so he gave that message to John the Revelator. And he told him what has been established up to that point. Namely, he showed him really that word order in chapter 1. That there are seven spirits and that this is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, and that Jesus was witnessing through his life those seven synonymous terms and exemplified it through the days of creation. And showed that those days of creation are not Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, but that it's also the first and the last, that they are eternal and that that order is an eternal law. So he began to show them that the seven candlesticks, the seven synonymous term, that the seven candlesticks are fundamental, Alpha and Omega are the first and the last, and he could see that therefore eternally man can demonstrate that word order. He saw the Son of Man walking in the midst of the candlestick. It was no more Jesus Christ that was walking there, but the Son of Man, generic man as the idea of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Then in chapter 2 and 3, he showed him that there is an eternal development going on, namely the Christ idea, that word of God has a Christ, and that Christ manifests itself constantly in the Christ order, principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. These were the seven messages to the seven churches. They were really the seven angels, the message how God comes down to man and how that Christ has an impact on man and therefore on the way of translation would rebuke everything that is unlike God. And so he was rebuking the various churches for certain characteristics, but also was showing that they can overcome it, and if they would overcome it, that they would gain these seven synonymous terms. We saw there, at that point, we made a note that only when he was talking to the Church of Philadelphia, which was the Church of Spirit, that there he had nothing to reproach. And that in that church to Philadelphia, he would show that they have the key of David and that they would be able to open and that no man would shut it, and that they would shut, and no man would open it again. It gave there already the sense of the city of spirit, and because he that openeth, then he can enter into that city, and nobody can shut it again. He therefore already envisioned that the Christ translation would have as a main aim in view to give to mankind the idea of the city foursquare, that city which had no accuser in it, that city where nothing could enter that defileth or maketh a lie, in which there is no more reproach. But when he had finished just that vision of the Christ translation, he turned and he saw and heard a voice, and somebody said, "Come up hither. I will show you what must come hereafter." What must come hereafter is not a historical happening. What must come hereafter is something that must come in the order of spirit. In the order of spirit, after the word order and the Christ order, must come the Christianity order. And so what Jesus showed to the revelator was that first vision of principle, when he showed him really in the Christianity order, first as a statement of the scientific Christianity, what constitutes the science of Christianity or scientific Christianity. He showed him there really the principle of being as one sitting on the throne, round about the throne, where seven spirits and 24 elders and 24 seats, and they had the seven spirits and the seven lamps, the identity of the synonymous term with the expression of the synonymous term. They had the sense of spirit as the calculus of spirit, the four beasts as a calculus, each beast having three pairs of wings, or six wings, making 4 by 6, 24 questions and answers which are now operating, and because the wings symbolize the ever operative sense. All that was shown as being in the book of life, but that book of life was sealed and nobody could open until then, at the point of truth, the Lamb, the Christ, slain from the foundation of the earth, came and said, "I can open it." Only the Lamb can open it. Only the Christ idea can open it. And so there was a point of love, there was happiness, joy, and glorification that the Lamb was able to open it. So can you see, at that point, the revelator only began first to see the statement of the Christianity order, just what constitutes, so to say, scientific Christianity, not yet really the operation of it, what it will do, how it will work, how it will handle evil. That has not yet been shown. But Christianity is that which should show in a Christianly scientific way, as Mrs. Eddy says, the annihilation of evil and to make nothing of evil. So, on the basis of that Christianity, of that book that was shown, the revelator now begins to elaborate on that new vision of the Christianity order. And then we have seen, and this I want to make very short so that we don't lose the thread, there we have seen that Christianity order comes up again and again, but always again in a different shape. That first it had been stated as a vision, then we know that in the vision of love with the woman in heaven, clothed with the sun and the stars upon her head and the moon under her feet, was presenting now how we can give birth to that Christianity order, to the scientific Christianity. And so the 12th chapter in Revelation is laid out in the Christianity order, presenting how we as women can give birth to the idea of science, to that which was constantly shown as the one on the throne, the seven and the four and the 24, and those tones come in again and again now all through the chapters that lead to the next big step, to the chapter 19. So we had the Christianity order, to repeat it again, in the vision of principle, showing first what constitutes scientific Christianity, then the woman giving birth in the Christianity to the idea of science, of scientific Christianity. Then later on he was showing how that would handle scientifically the nothingness of error. We saw that with the angels that were presenting how with the sickle of spirit would come and show the nothingness of the counterfeit of life, the counterfeit of truth, the counterfeit of love. Then, as the vision goes on and showing that with this scientific sense of Christianity, we can handle evil to the point where we can annihilate evil in the vision of soul through the seven vials full of the last plagues, and one by one that vial was showing in the inverted word order the nothingness and the demonstration of the nothingness of evil. So that Christianity order was actually the great central point at which Jesus was showing the Revelator what has to come. And it has taken then all that time since then in order to work out that Christianity order, to bring forth really science and health in our age, and bring to our age science and health, which is science and Christianity. It is the science of Christianity that is explained in science health. It was first the science of man. Can you hear? Science applied to Christianity, man. And then the science of man, that little booklet, became afterwards a book, the Open Science and Health. And then at that point, when he had shown really that we can reduce evil to its native nothingness and prove that native nothingness and destroy that whole mortal concept of the world, namely Great Babylon, that will fall under the one millstone, under the one question, what is God? If we have understood that question, what is God? Therefore, I have understood really the word order, the Christ order, the Christianity order, which all deal with the seven synonymous term, then the point has come where something new is opening up. So what he is showing, therefore, after having shown the word order, the Christ order, and Christianity order, he began to touch science. He gave then with what was that chap on very well. So at the point of that point, he began to show that the whole gamut of human thinking is a great Babylon, and that that whole gamut of human thinking is actually a calculus of mortality, a calculus of mortal thought, Babylon. And so he began to present really the Christ, science as the word, Babylon, in the inverse sense, naturally. Then he showed how the calculus of spirit as truth, the calculus of the Christ, that millstone, that's the calculus of truth, how that millstone here in spirit as and truth gives the sense of the science as the Christ, how that stone cut out without hands would really destroy the calculus of mortality. So at this point he finishes completely with evil. First he had to show the various phenomena of evil and how the seven synonymous terms were handling the various phenomena of evil and make nothing of evil. And then when he came to Babylon, he had to show that all those phenomena of evil can actually all be reduced to one concept. You remember when he was depicting Babylon, it was always one, that all those ten horns and so were one horn, one king, that it has only to do that they were of one mind, small m, that it was just a false calculus going on in consciousness. So he brought the whole thing that he has presented in the word Christ and Christianity order to a point that said, all what is wrong really about things is Babylon, is our calculus of mortal thinking, and that calculus of mortal thinking, science as the word, that will be destroyed through science as the Christ, the idea that millstone will just wipe off Babylon and its place will be found no more. So at that point, the Revelator finishes really his vision of the vision of soul, and then we started out yesterday already with the vision of spirit and began to see science as Christianity, mind and love, science as Christianity, where from this point on never evil is anymore considered as a power. It's just extinct, it's just cast out. So that at this point of mind and love, science as Christianity, he showed the Alleluia, where everything within being was praising God. All the four sides of the holy city were praising God. The Word was praising God, then the Christ was praising God, and Christianity was praising God, and then science was praising God, so that there is one great Alleluia, namely metaphysics, mind, glorified in love. That was the whole tone there, that the idea which now comes up since Babylon is fallen, that the idea of metaphysics finds now its absolute glorification. Hallelujah. And then he says, but be careful, he shows them principle, science as science, and says, but that is the operation of the one principle God, and not of Jesus. Don't worship Jesus, worship God, the omni action of principle. You remember when you know John Dolly's exposition of this candlestick order, that he shows that soul as life is the word of science, spirit as truth, the Christ of science, mind and love, the Christianity of science, and principle is really the science of science, the omni action of principle. So he could see there and say, now look, that you are not looking at Jesus anymore, now look up to God and pray and praise God. That's where we were yesterday. And so at this point, where I began to see that we have to praise God and no more stand on the sand of the sea. Something completely new came into his vision. It says, "And I saw heaven opened." Now, for the first time, heaven was opened. Up to this point, only the temple of God was opened. The temple was opened, but not heaven, not the church was opened. And so you see, suddenly you go into a completely higher field of consciousness. And heaven is open, and now we look into heaven. And that is what we can call absolute Christian science. So at this very point, when he had finished with the point that we should praise God and not Jesus, that we should praise something else than the 5,000-year period of the demonstration of God on the level of Christian science. You see, what was Jesus' mission, really? The main point was to bring, really, God down to earth, so to say, to show that the divine principle of being can be practiced and lived here on earth. It was really showing the level of absolute Christian science here. If you know your levels, it's absolutely clear. But from this point on, heaven was opened. And so we come now to the level of absolute Christian science. And the Revelator begins now to depict in his language, with his symbolism, absolute Christian science. Here in the horizontal of absolute Christian science, first, absolute Christian science as the Word, then as the Christ, then as Christianity, and then as science. This is what the Revelator does. It is not what Mrs. Eddy does in the Apocalypse. The Revelator explains absolute Christian science as the Word, Christ, and Christianity. Mrs. Eddy only interprets then absolute Christian science as science, truth, and love. Why it is so, we will see later on. So how does the Revelator show these three aspects of absolute Christian science? I think I can now put out the lights. You have the chart also in front of you. And as the Revelator shows that, and not Mrs. Eddy, I will go through it very quickly, because really the main point then comes in where Mrs. Eddy starts with her explanation. So we have first the Word of life, truth, and love. It is there where he saw, and I saw heaven opened. And he that sat upon it was called faithful and true. Faithful and true. See, that's the Word. To be true to the Word, to be faithful to the Word. So he depicts the Word in absolute Christian science and depicts it as life, truth, and love. As life, by showing that one that on his head bear many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. So only the individual really knows what the Word of God is. It is an individual proposition. So that we get the sense of life, of individuality. And it was closed with vessel dipped with blood. You see, it is that which has overcome already the laying down of the mortal, which has overcome the level of Christian science. And his name was called the Word of God. We have here life as the individuality of life, where the individual must know what God is. He himself must get hold of that. It depicts truth, You see, we have life, truth, love. He depicts truth as that he had in his mouth a sharp sword. Can you hear every time that sharp sword comes in, the sharp sword or the sharp sickle or whatever it is, it has the tone of truth. To rule the nations with a rod of iron. And his name is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. His name is really what Christ, Jesus Christ's name was, that he was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And we have a tone of love, which shows that I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he shows that the beast and the false prophets were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. That love always exterminates every vestige of error. That in love there is no error. That everything is cast into a burning furnace and devours everything that is not right. So that we have here a sense of the first of the Word of God in Absolute Christian Science, saying that Word is the individuality of the Word of God that has within itself the nature of the Christ, that it is Lord of all lords, that it is the Christ dominion, and in that Christ dominion love says everything that is not like the Word of God is wiped out and is devoured and has no more a vestige of error. Then we come to the next, namely to the Christ in Absolute Christian Science, which is truth, life, and love. And here it is shown that Christ in Absolute Christian Science has that law of annihilation for everything unlike themselves. He said, and I saw an angel come down from heaven. Can you see, first, now when it depicts the Christ, it's always an angel coming down from heaven, because the Christ is the translation to the point of idea. And he came down from heaven, and he's depicted as truth, as having the key to the bottomless pit. Truth is always the key to everything that solves every problem. And at the point of life, and he had a great chain in his hand with which he could chain everything. It could show that the chain of scientific being is the outflow, really, of that key of truth that the Christ always brings to every situation in the chain of scientific being, the right answer. And then he shows again love. Always when it comes to point of love, he wants to show that error is nothing, that it is no more a factor, that that does no more enter as a factor. And he bound the devil and Satan 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him. Can you see the finality of the nothingness of error? Set the seal upon him for 1,000 years. So he gives the sense, really, that that Word has a Christ, and that that Christ is constantly coming as the key to every situation, then as life, as bringing, really, that constant progressive unfoldment of the idea, the chain of scientific being, and that in that progressive sense of idea, love says, I don't know anything about error, I know no error, this is not a factor in my being, that is sealed forever, for 1,000 years.